For January 31st, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
Good morning, woodchuckers. This is Chip Hassenfly.
Excellent. We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us, and hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information this week. Oh boy, we got some celebrating to do this week.
Celebration time. Yeah, it's February, and we got lots of celebrating to do.
Yeah, it is American Black History Month, so happy American Black History Month to everybody.
If you follow our Twitter or Facebook feeds, we'll have a lot of fun stories, and you can learn a little bit about our American history.
There's some
from the Black experience.
So, that's right.
Good stuff.
And then on Thursday, it's Groundhog Day, Chip.
Groundhog Day? Woodchuckers.
We didn't go up to Woodstock this year. We went up to Woodstock 2 years ago and did the show live from the filming location of that movie, mm-hmm. Groundhog Day, right here in Woodstock, Illinois. It's a great spot.
There's a Sonny and Cher song that will come on every morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have not been up to Woodstock, you're in the Chicago area, it's a great trip to take up with the family. There's all sorts of fun things up there.
Yeah.
Truly a square.
Yes.
And you can also learn a little bit about Chester Gould. That's where he lived when he was writing many of the Dick Tracy strips.
Yeah, it's one of those historic neighborhoods, and it's so full and rich with history. Go up and see what's out there one of these days. That's something to do.
And drink, have a drink to world peace.
There you go. Super Bowl Sunday is happening in February.
The Super Bowl thing, I heard it's really big.
It's a big bowl with a big spoon and a lot of cereal.
There'll be a lot of advertisements. And we have actually a big game. We have Atlanta taking on New England.
Oh, yeah?
And the interesting part about it was Brady was suspended for the first, I think, four games of the season.
For cheating.
Well, for Deflategate. And the owner didn't say anything. Uh-huh. Belichick, who was the coach of New England, really didn't say anything. Uh-huh. Brady has been smiling a little bit about it. The game could get real ugly because Bill Belichick, who is the coach of New England, and Brady are very competitive.
He's not known for cheating, Bill Belichick, is he?
No, well, they are known to, they're known to bring the pain. And I would not be surprised. I'll go ahead and make a prediction right here.
Okay.
That if the game gets out of hand in the first quarter, they'll continue to pour on points. Wow. I think New England could, go up 48-0 and just hammer away.
Really?
Yeah, because I think they're very, as far as an organization, they're very angry about how the NFL took their star player and handled a situation like this.
Hmm.
Regardless of what you feel about the Deflategate, I do think that there's some bad blood going on there. And I think there's a little underlying issue that could go on. That doesn't mean that Atlanta can't win this game. What I'm basically saying is that if it gets ugly, don't expect New England to let up.
I have a prediction, too.
You're right.
I predict that I will be grading papers during this match that you're describing.
There are nachos to eat, Steve.
They won't eat themselves.
That's right. There are chicken wings that have to be tasted.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. And boy, is it early February, late January right now. The list is a very short list.
Our strongest list ever.
I got a chance to see I, Boy. This is a movie that is a Netflix exclusive. It started to be available last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a British film. It was originally going to be made by a British film company, and they couldn't quite make it happen. So Netflix swooped in with money and made it a Netflix exclusive.
I, Boy.
That's right. It features Maisie Williams, that many of you might know from the Game of Thrones, okay, or even more important, Lady Me from Doctor Who.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about Doctor Who.
I haven't watched either one.
I know. Sports. Sports is very important. This is a dark story about a kid who gets mixed up in a gang accidentally. He's not a part of the gang.
Sure.
He goes to this girl's house, Maisie Williams' character's house, and there's a gang there, and they are in the middle of a violent act on Maisie Williams' character. And
rape. So yeah. this is a mature movie.
This is a way darker movie than I thought I was sitting down for. This is
okay. Rated R. That would be what you think, even though they're not rated. It's made for a mature audience.
This is a mature audience kind of film. The storyline then goes to the boy is witnessing this moment. He runs away, and the gang shoots him, but they shoot him through the phone that he's holding to his ear, and parts of the phone get embedded into his brain, and as a result, he gets superpowers, as you might expect somebody with phone parts in their brain would get.
With great
power comes great dialing. Yes,
I think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, was this good? Would you recommend that we watch it? If you're taking away the dark part of it, was this a worthy of your time?
The acting is good, not great. The scene of tough life in London is there. It's on display.
Okay. We've
seen several movies about childhood and these gangs and this violence in London, and this is a good representation of that. I would be hard pressed to recommend this one.
Well, tell me, is there something that you potentially could recommend this week?
What I do recommend really highly is there's a new reality show. This is one of the first reality shows that I've actually enjoyed in the era of reality shows. This one's called Hunted. It's on CBS, and it's a really interesting concept where the contestants in this reality show are told that they are on the run. They have 1 hour to pack their stuff and disappear, and they know that the FBI, the U.S. Marshals, all the best of the best are going to be tracking them, and if they can stay hidden for 28 days, they win $250,000.
This is so fascinating.
It is.
When you were telling me about it as we were preparing for the show, it seems very topical.
It seems pretty right on.
Think about a person trying to cross the U.S. border.
Mm-hmm.
Think about a person who's been living in the United States who may not be registered. This seems very topical.
Very timely.
All right. So the other part of this is that they're given that hour to bug out of town, mm-hmm. and they have all of these law enforcement agencies tracking them. You can think of things like cell phones you wouldn't want to use.
Immediately you drop your cell phone.
We talked about they can get access to money, but anytime you use an ATM, they know where you are.
That is part of the setup of this, is every ATM transaction, they have cameras on those ATMs, and they can track who transacted that business.
This definitely, if you think about over the last 8 or 10 years, through the from the downturn of the market to the rise, there's a survivalist group out there. This definitely follows under them, because one of the strategies is to head out to the mountains and become a survivalist.
And take your tent with you in that first hour and go and hide in the woods for 28 days.
Take your tin cans, your dried food.
And as much water as you can carry.
Well, the water filtration system,
right.
Whatever you want to do. It seems that would be one strategy. The other strategy would be to there's no Underground Railroad, but kind of figure out
your own.
Yeah.
Create your own Underground Railroad. Find somebody that you can trust. And boy, who do you trust?
Well, and that's one of the things that you were mentioning as we were preparing, is that the law enforcement has been watching you.
They have access to all of your digital footprint. So if you have friends on Facebook, you can't contact them because they are being watched by these authorities as well.
Well, there you go.
This is really intriguing television. It's really well edited. That's the key to all reality shows. You take this mass of footage, mm-hmm. and you have to cut it into a way that makes it an intriguing story. This one does that really well.
This is on CBS.
This is on CBS.
Airs Wednesday nights.
Yeah, and the story there is, I said, I was watching CBS here in the Chicago area.
Well, where we are, CBS, the signal strength is not particularly strong.
So I haven't watched CBS in years. Even growing up, CBS was on the fringe of where I could watch, where I could catch that signal.
All right, so let's make sure we say that again. The NFL is on the CBS station every Sunday, and you're saying that in the Chicago area, that it's difficult to get the CBS signal. I'm not talking about cable.
Right.
I'm talking about signal.
Right. So you'll find that the Chicago football match is usually not on CBS.
Well, it depends upon it. Right now, in the old days, the NFC, which Chicago was part of, was on CBS.
Okay.
They had lost that. They have the AFC rights now. Chicago is in the NFC, and Fox owns those rights right now.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the reason why that switch has taken place. But regardless, you're in a major metropolitan area where an antenna mm-hmm. was difficult to get a local large network. Well, we now have a different way of doing that through. You know, I'm not talking about cable or satellite. I'm talking strictly through over the air.
Yeah. This week, or maybe it was last week, CBS actually got themselves a repeater. So they are broadcasting not only on frequency 2, which is the CBS channel mm-hmm. here in Chicago, they're also broadcasting on frequency 48.3. So those of you who are cord cutters, those of you who don't have cable and haven't watched CBS for a while in Chicago because of the weak signal, try doing a rescan on your TV. Sure. Because 48.3, it has been working for me way out here in the burbs.
All right, if we had to watch a movie this week, it certainly is like the lightest of the light weeks.
It is a light week.
I in fact, if we were preparing, I only put one movie down.
And I looked to see what you had skipped, and you didn't skip anything. The only movie that is of any note this week is called The Space Between Us. You may have seen the trailer for this one.
Valentine's Day is coming. Yes. And young people, if you need a movie to go see, here
young
we go.
Young Martians in Love. This is the story of a kid who's born on Mars in the not-too-distant future. I mean, we are really close.
A handsome gentleman with eyes.
Yes. He is a human, but he was born on Mars, and he falls in love with a long distance relationship
Earthling.
With a girl who lives on Earth, and decides
the space between us
he decides that he needs to meet her in real life.
And who wouldn't? Anyway, they get together, and
he goes to Earth. He travels from Mars to see a girl.
It's only 4 hours.
Why else would you
go? People will do anything for young ladies.
That's right.
Anyway, he can't live on Earth. We find out that there are, because of the gravity and whatever else.
Air pressure.
They cannot live. He cannot survive on Earth.
And she may not be able to survive on Mars. So what will they do?
Well, I tell you what. Music. There we go. Bring your tissues. I'm sure this is the fault in our stars.
Mars edition.
Yeah, only the science fiction edition of that.
The fault in several of our stars.
Grab some, young men, grab a box of chocolate, a rose, and go ahead and schedule your time, because Halloween. Valentine's is ready for you, man.
I'm sure that the rest of the Valentine's titles will be coming out next week, but this is the first one.
The Lego Batman movie, of course.
The Lego Batman movie.
I mean, what young lady would not?
The other thing that you could do with your time is watch TV. I know we don't talk about TV.
What's this television stuff?
I know, we don't talk about TV, but just give me this one. February Sweeps is here. This is the time of the year when all of the ratings for all the shows come out, so the shows put out their best and brightest in February. And all of those shows are going to start up this week, and there's some good stuff starting, including some of those interesting mid-season replacements. There's one called Superior Donuts.
Again, what's this about?
It's on CBS, first of all. It's on CBS. So I'm watching CBS for the first time in a long
48.3, time. 48.3,
baby. Superior Donuts is Judd Hirsch, 81-year-old Judd Hirsch, owns an old-fashioned donut shop that's failing economically. So he hires or gets as a partner the young, hip kid who comes in and makes his donut shop and hip.
So he's going to... well, this has to be a takeoff on... All right, so I'm trying to think of the shows my oldest daughter had watched. She watched one from Washington, D.C. that was based on a... they made cupcakes.
Okay.
And they were all special blends of cupcakes.
Hmm.
There was another one. I think it had to do with donuts. But anyway, they put like Trix on them, on the donuts.
Okay.
T-R-I-X, the cereal.
Okay.
And they would do also, you know, they may have a barbecue donut. Anyway, there's a lot of trendy type of donut places, just like there's trendy cupcake places. This is probably a takeoff on that, and as a backdrop to whatever story.
To whatever sitcom. I love the concept of writing a sitcom, taking something normal, something in real life, and making it situationally funny, changing one little aspect of it. Putting 81-year-old Judd Hirsch behind the counter is, I think, the key here.
What if you were like a big lizard guy and you wanted to destroy Tokyo? What would you end up watching?
Svengoolie is something that I watch every week.
He's trying to protect the land.
I love Svengoolie. And in February, Svengoolie showing 4 Godzilla films. Every Saturday nights, tune in to Svengoolie.
These are not public domain, so he actually had to pay for the, yeah. this. So yeah. the deal is this is his sweeps.
This is his sweeps, just like it is for everybody else. This is where he's going to get his ratings for the year. Everybody, tune in to Svengoolie this month and catch Godzilla. Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, you have been not reading big lizard stories. You've been reading, you love the classics. And
the classics, my friend.
You finally found a way to enjoy the Lord of the Rings.
With J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yes.
All right, so Stephen Colbert loves Lord of the Rings.
Yes, he does.
I watched the movies. I think the movie came out in 2001.
Isn't that amazing?
The Fellowship of the Ring.
15 years ago.
All right, so I watched the movies. I bought the big, fat version of Lord of the Rings. I had tried to read it when I was a child.
I did, too.
Each time I had gotten... I mean, it just... The names, the story, it just... I got stopped as I got started.
And the language. It's definitely a British... higher level language.
Okay. So anyway, my point being is that I have tried multiple times mm-hmm. to get through this story. I know it's a classic. There have been plenty of lists to say for over the last 100 years, what was the best book? And like the Everyday Joe put together a list, and mm-hmm. the top of it was Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. All right. So then they, like the British paper would turn around and say, well, let's go to the learned people, because, you know, obviously the Everyday Joe can't pick the best.
Right.
And they would come back with The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
So we know this is a classic book. And to put it in today's perspective, if Steve loves Star Wars.
I love Star Wars.
This is this generation version. This is their version of Star Wars.
Okay.
Okay. This is the younger kids. Harry Potter. This is their version.
This is that universe building, huge, enormous story that has important parts to your life.
All right, so the reason I started reading this is because I had read a book previously, and we'll talk about that in the next month or so, but it was by what he calls himself, the Tolkien professor. He teaches at a university, I think in Baltimore area. But anyway, he wrote a book on The Hobbit, and I ended up reading his book on... basically where he's talking about The Hobbit. And after I finished it, I said, you know, I should really attempt to read Lord of the Rings again. And The Fellowship of the Rings, the first part of it. On the Kindle app, you can get that for free.
Hmm.
So it's no cost to go ahead and pick that up. No, I have a paper version, but I am gone so often that, I mean, it's just really hard to kind of get that done. So I picked up the Kindle version and I started reading it. And the deal is that between The Hobbit, which the Tolkien professor talked a little bit about, I've got the backstory again. I recognize Bilbo found the ring that Gollum had picked up and taken to the mountain. Lord of the Rings, by the way, I think that book came out in 1934.
So we can't really give any spoilers on this, though.
Oh my God, this book has been around forever.
This has been a long time this book's existed.
The Hobbit was written for children as mm-hmm. a children's book. And the publisher at the end said, well, why don't you go ahead and come up with a sequel to that? And I'm sure they were thinking that within a year, you'll have another secret to The Hobbit. Guess what? It was like 1954, I think.
Wow.
Is when the Lord of the Rings was published. So it took a long time, and this was not a children's book. This was a all-persons book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very rich world. He had been working on this backstory forever. The things that we should know about it is Tolkien loved language. That was one of the things that he taught in school. He's Catholic, and while that's not overwhelmingly pertinent, but there are a lot of Christian values that end up showing up, although this is not a Christian story.
Mm-hmm.
This takes place a long, long time ago before...
galaxy far, far away?
Well, Christ story even would come. In addition to that, we should know that he fought in World War I. And the carnage and destruction he saw during that time ends up playing sort of into how he's viewing the world here, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I want that to be very clear on there. I started reading this, and all of a sudden, the characters were okay.
Nice.
So Bilbo, who in The Hobbit had found the ring and stolen it, ultimately, he starts, he's getting older. He's 111 years old, or 11-teen, I think he said. Anyway, he says to Gandalf, who is our wizard, which basically means wise man, not he's just a guy that's wise and can make fireworks. Anyway, he says to him, he goes, I'm like bread that the butter has been spread too thin on.
Hmm.
And so one of the themes throughout this book is that life is short, relatively, but it deserves to be short. I'm not saying that to live forever is not something that should be desirable, according to this writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows up in a number of different places. In the story of The Hobbit, they go on this adventure. This ring gets stolen. This ring has magical powers to it. It makes you invisible. It gives you immortality. And also, it has a corrupting influence on you.
Mm-hmm.
There's desire and all sorts of stuff. So what do you do as an uncle? You take your nephew and say, hey, listen, I'm feeling long of the tooth. I'm going to go live with the elves and die out my days, write my memoir. Here, take this and go destroy it. Well, Frodo, who is his nephew, certainly didn't realize the gravity of that. But somehow, through meeting with Gandalf, this wise man, he does. And that's our story. In it, we have Samwise, who is the companion to Frodo. We eventually meet a couple other hobbits who are, Frodo is 50 years old. That really doesn't come across real well in the movie version. Merry and Pippin, who are his, companions, I think they are in their teens, maybe their late teens. So what we need to know is that Bilbo is 111, Frodo is 50, and these Merry and Pippin are younger. They put together this quest. They eventually arrive in this elven village. They put together this group of people who are going to escort Mr. Frodo to go destroy this ring. This certainly sounds so complicated.
It is. It is a deep world.
This book is meant to be read slowly and mm-hmm. enjoyed. You're going on this adventure. Mm-hmm. What I want to say is that as Frodo grows, you are growing with him. One of the Tolkien ways he writes is he always puts you in the eyes of like the most vulnerable person as part of the group.
Hmm.
So it's a way of looking at things. I totally get why Stephen Colbert fell in love with this, and he can talk about it on such a incredible deep level.
One of our college friends actually named their son Samwise. There is an actual human walking around with the name Samwise because they love this story so much.
Christopher Lee, who ends up playing Saruman in the he's one of the wise men, the wizards in this movie franchise. He read that book yearly.
Mm-hmm.
Yearly, he read that book every year from the publication. Till he passed away, when he wasn't recording heavy metal albums, he felt...
Or being vampires.
That's right. Or playing a Jedi, a bad Jedi.
Right.
He read this book. He felt it was important to go through this journey again. There's a lot to do it. If you watch the movies, the book ends roughly in the same spot where you have Frodo and you have Samwise, who's going to follow them. They go off on their own. They're going to go destroy this ring. And then we have our the next book that we'll talk about. I'm about halfway through that one, interestingly enough.
Nice.
It takes off, and they're on a different type of quest. My point is that this was so difficult for me to get through earlier, and I'm wondering why it was so difficult. Maybe it just took an old man's eyes to be able to read it.
So now you're going to go to all the conventions. You're going to gather all the hobbits around you and be a part of this convention society.
I already eat second breakfast
there
every month and second lunch. And
this is a story
I'm going to mention this also. Food is always important in this. Every time they turn around, they're stopping to eat some food. And that's one of the things on The Hobbit that we'll eventually talk about too. But anyway, they eat But and that's so important to him. But later on, it kind of, while it's still overriding, there's other, his growth is, there's other things important to him. And also, where I think I had a lot of difficult, not just with the names, but there's like, they break out in a song all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you're like me, sometimes you just blow through them. By listening to the Tolkien Professor, I was able to read through those and get what we're trying to get. You know, orcs, who are the goblins. Mm-hmm. God, man, this sounds so freaking nerdy. Anyway, they have a certain way.
Should I start singing?
Gosh, this is so awful.
Nerd!
It's so awful. It's so awful. Anyway, so.
Welcome to my world, sir.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about Star Trek.
I'm glad I read this. The poems were difficult to get through, but now I got through them. There are courses you can take on them. My God, you can do whatever you want to. If you've had a difficult time getting this is a classic for a reason. You don't have to be a fan of this genre to get through it. Try it. God bless. I got through it. Or I'm getting through it.
Everybody, welcome Chip into the fold. Hi, my name is Chip, and I'm a nerd. Hi, Chip. That's great. It's great that you're finding joy in this on a level that you haven't before. And I look forward to you talking about it more. If you want to read along with Chip, like you said, the ebook is available for free on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. And I think he'll be talking about it more. What do you think?
We got two more. I'm already halfway through the second one.
Excellent. Brings us to our appetizer app of the week, and this week, another database of streaming media has come to light.
There always seems to be...
Yeah, another one.
Another one. Yeah. And when we talk about streaming media, this is television media. Or no, this is streaming media.
This is streaming media.
So television, movies, or any number of things.
Right. Those of you who don't know, I'm not a cable subscriber. I don't have cable. I haven't had cable for more than 2 years of my life. I'm basically a cord never.
The dark years, as he refers to.
Well, the expensive years. I find it so frustrating to pay for cable when I get no value out of it.
You're right on one level. Mm-hmm. And we're right at that level with either podcasts, because there are a bunch of podcast apps that you can subscribe to, and also with music, like the music services subscribe to. Like, why would you pay for a family, why would they pay $180
right
to have all the music available to them a year? Well, cable works the same way, except mm-hmm. for take that number and, you know, $100, you know, why pay $1,200 a year for cable television?
I don't have an answer to that question.
Well, the answer would be that, you know, for many, a lot of entertainment, maybe that's a pretty reasonable thing, but on some level, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I think the majority of people who still have cable, the reason they have it is for live sports. And since I don't watch live sports, I've never had cable. Mm-hmm. I don't want cable. So I use all sorts of apps. The one that we want to talk about today is called Just Watch. This is a database of streaming movies and TV shows. So you take all of those services, Netflix, Hulu, iTunes, Google Play, and you might not know where that movie is that you want to watch.
Sure.
You could go through them one at a time. Let's see if it's on Netflix. No, it's not. Let's go see if it's here or there or the other. Or somebody can come around with a service like this that consolidates your search into one easy place. Like we said, a lot of these have come and gone. Can I Stream It was the one that I suggested for a while. Then there was fan.tv that I was using for a good long time. Just Watch is right now my choice for this.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I can think about this, and I'm sorry we didn't think about it before as we were preparing, is a streaming service like Vudu, V-U-D-U, mm-hmm. which is actually owned by Walmart,
right.
if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, when you watch a movie through that service, I think you can get 7.1, maybe 5.1 surround sound. Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes through multiple speakers and stuff. Netflix sometimes compresses movies. Sometimes when you're watching things through other services, you don't get maybe either full surround sound or anything like that. But anyway, a service like Vudu says, hey, we'll give you the best experience out there. My question is, that may be a way of using this to try to hone in on some features maybe you don't get elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this one shows that, but I'm trying to think of how I would use it if you know, as a person who's not a cord cutter right now.
Well, you have access to cable. You have access to your list of on-demand shows sure. and movies. So you have a database there. That is your Absolutely. Database for the most part. But you also are a Netflix subscriber. Mm-hmm. And you use Netflix just by
Netflix
chance.
Netflix is awesome.
You go through it and go, oh, maybe I'd like to watch that.
In fact, I could tell you right now, we could cancel cable mm-hmm. and almost go right through Netflix.
With the exception of live sports.
Well, live sports is still a real issue. Mm-hmm. And if you're watching ESPN or you're watching Fox Sports 1 or NBCSN, you know, these, you know, Major League Baseball, NFL television, you know, if you go through all the CBS, SN, these are the ones where you can get live sports. Mm-hmm. Question is how much of that live sports do you watch?
None.
I watch maybe, you know, maybe I watch a half a game a week.
But you also sometimes put on one of those cable channels as waterfall television, just something that's on in the background while you're doing something else.
The golf channel is like the greatest channel ever. Because
there's a good example.
You know, think of, you get the light clap. You get the beautiful greens.
Yeah.
I mean, all you can say, and it seems to be, you know, it's there's nothing unhappy about having, you know, that beautiful scenery and beautiful skyline out there. It's snowing outside, and I'm looking at this. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming from Hawaii.
Yeah.
This looks beautiful.
That's fine. And if that is valuable to you, if that
sure.
piece of your life is valuable, then you pay for cable. Those of you who are interested in cutting the cable, please send us an email. I can help you out with all this. I've helped so many people. Put up an antenna. The number of free channels, I believe I'm up to 57 channels that are coming from Chicago on the antenna for free right now.
Well, it's too bad. You end up missing out Fox Sports News, and you miss out on CNN News, and it's just too bad.
I don't need either one of those in this house, believe you me.
Yeah,
we get enough news through our sources that we have to make people get in the car and drive places already. We don't need any more perspectives on the news. Brings us to our Now the News segment. Good timing.
Good timing there, big guy.
A couple of pieces of news. Sad news at the top today. Mary Tyler Moore passed away at age 80 this week.
Who can turn the world on with a smile?
Oh, what a great part of Americana Mary Tyler Moore provided for us.
Sure. Now, this Mary Tyler Moore, for those who are our younger listeners, was a show that probably came on television when we were much younger than our younger listeners.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I was probably, I don't know, 7?
I don't think I was available for television viewing when it was on
6?
First run. I think I saw it in reruns on Saturdays.
Okay, I didn't watch the reruns of Mary Tyler Moore.
Well, but Saturdays, you can either watch Mary Tyler Moore bowling or golf. I watched a lot of bowling.
Well, I will say that it may have been a 9 o'clock show, so I was in bed as a kid at that time. It didn't really matter. She's a single person, which was unique for the time. This is certainly very much of a coming of age. I don't know if
finding your place, my
girls who are you know young teenagers right now, I don't think they grew up in a world where they didn't feel there was opportunity.
Right.
So for my mom's generation, this was revolutionary because she was single. She went on dates.
She had a job.
She had a job. You're right. She had a job. Mm-hmm. There was a whole bunch of things that was part of it. And they were in a newsroom, and they had, of course, my favorite, Ted Baxter with the news.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, Mary Tyler Moore was a special lady and a groundbreaking type of program. So I'm sorry we lost her. She was 80 years old.
She was 80 years old.
Survived by Betty White.
Betty White is still
she was in that
still
show.
Kicking. Oh, absolutely. Betty White was pivotal in Mary Tyler Moore. Absolutely. She was the ditzy one. I think Betty White has played the ditzy one a lot of times.
She wasn't the ditzy one. Who was somebody's wife was on there that was, I think it was Ted Baxter's wife.
Oh, okay.
She was the other person who did the daytime television program at the station. Now, We did put a couple of links in our notes. Mm-hmm. Chuckles the Clown, when he passed away, that was supposed to be a groundbreaking show. And the idea was that Chuckles was like the bozo character for the station. He passed away. And the writer of the news and Ed Asner's character, they just basically went through a joke fest of talking about death, which Mary Tyler Moore was totally offended by. Mm-hmm. And the entire show was trying to tell these jokes. And then I think Ed Asner actually directed the show. And have Mary Tyler Moore just basically look at him and say, this is just so unkind. How could you do that? But Mary Tyler Moore gets to the funeral and just laughs the entire time as the as they're giving the ceremony. And everybody looks at her in the same disdain. So, yeah, I don't know. If you want to watch that, it's there. In fact, the last show, the final episode, is there where they all hug and cry and say goodbye to everybody. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it was a unique time for television.
Yeah.
And a unique message.
Yep, and a unique lady. Was sad to see her go. Also this week, we lost Sir John Hurt, who is just one of the best actors I've ever seen on screen.
Steve, this looks like it's going to be a weekly segment. It's like, who passed away this week? John Hurt, for those who didn't know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve. Tell us why you would know John Hurt.
John Hurt played Doctor Who.
Okay.
The end. Segment over.
John Hurt was also in the movie 1984, which, yes, interestingly enough, is the number one best-selling Amazon book this week.
That's right. But the Van Halen album 1984 has remained unchanged.
And he also played, he was the gentleman who ran the wand shop in the Harry Potter films.
Yep.
Where the wand chooses you, Harry.
And he was in Alien and had an interesting part that I can't spoil because spoilers.
He's also the Elephant Man.
Uh-huh.
So there's a whole... I mean,
John Hurt was fantastic.
He was in everything. And he was such an awesome guy. We seem to be losing a lot of these awesome people. But part of it is, I think, because we're so aware of the entertainment value. And these people in the past may have been actors who only had a very local audience of wherever they were acting.
And we're losing the baby boom generation. This is a generation of people that millions of people were born all in a very short amount of time. And like the light bulbs that you put in your house, all of them are going to go out in a very small area of time.
Computer.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave. Yes, you are right in your shouting that your new Amazon Echo that you have in your house, you have reprogrammed to operate with the word computer as the activation word.
My kids, by the way, do not like it. They prefer the name Alexa. I may
nerd,
have to switch it.
Nerd!
All right, so computer came from Star Trek, where they would constantly ask the computer for stuff.
Information.
Yes.
Yes.
And so the Echo now can, you can call it Amazon. Uh-huh. You can call it Alexa.
You can call it Echo.
You can call it Echo, or you can call it computer.
Computer.
And so I have called it computer. And all you do is you say, computer, play the latest Barry White song. And all of a sudden, my wife is not happy with me.
Yeah. And the question that I raised with this is whether or not it will hear you say computer in other sentences and will activate. For me, I have the Google Home, and it's a two-word keyword. I have to say the okay followed by the Google in order to activate. You hear how carefully I'm not saying those two words together, so I'm not activating everybody's devices.
Well, I don't know. When I talk to the Echo, when I talk to the computer, I've
now activated a lot of devices.
I know. All I do is, you say the word computer,
mm-hmm,
you know, play Luther Vandross.
All you do is play Luther Vandross and Teddy Pendergrass. That is the only reason you got this Echo.
That's all I do. It's basically to put on the sexy music because my wife wants to hear it when she walks in the room. No, but there is a delay. So you have to say computer, and all of a sudden the ring will activate.
One ring.
And it's the one ring to rule them all.
Okay.
And at that point, it will listen for what your command is.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you say, computer, put on, you know, whatever the sexy music. Put on sexy music.
Sexy music playlist number 642.
That's right. Dun, 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 dun. Ow! And then all of a sudden it starts playing. And at that point, my wife, you know, you can just see her melt right there. And I put her in my arms and we
and she dance. Throws things at you.
Oh, that's right. That's after a few minutes.
Yeah. So you're not finding that this keyword is keying into this device without it intending to be keyed into.
I don't think so. Okay, if you're good. Speaking in normal conversation, it's probably too fast for it. You need to have that, when I say the command, and because you have to say, computer, you know, be quiet, or computer, turn off.
I think we've said this before, but this is the Harry Potter level. You say a word, and something happens as a result of you saying this word.
Exactly.
This is casting computer, spells.
Computer, bring pizza.
Yes, and it will. Or a bag of chips. Exactly. Tostitos is putting out a bag of chips for Super Bowl Sunday, and this bag of chips has a little sensor on the front of it that when you breathe on it, it supposedly will tell you whether or not you are intoxicated or not.
All right, so this is probably one of the most irresponsible things I've heard.
Tostitos.
It works two levels on this. First one is, as we've learned from many breathalyzer apps and little straw things that you can buy and all sorts of stuff, there are a group of people who will see how high they can get whatever number they need to get.
I have seen that. I've witnessed that personally.
All right. So I'm not saying that people do, but I'm just saying that there is the potential of that happening. And I certainly wouldn't want to tell people what to do. But the other part is this very same week, this week, there's been a settlement with two apps over apps that basically stated that they could test your blood alcohol content and tell you whether you're okay to drive or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, there was a problem with that.
Right.
They settled for dollars.
Mm-hmm.
This seems just, and certainly, I recognize it's a bag of chips.
It's all that and a bag of chips.
It just seems like this is just has class action lawsuit written all over it.
I totally agree. As much as we want to prevent drunk driving is a problem, and we want to prevent it, Tostitos is not the right answer.
I'm going to the grocery store today. It'll be a good time to pick up a bag of chips.
And a six-pack.
That's right. And test this out.
But what we're going to do in the very near future, we've got 11 more months before we get to see the next Star Wars. Star Wars Episode 8, this week, it has a title.
There's a title. And obviously that makes the news, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
It makes the news.
Oh, it was on the news. And I'm not saying the nerd news. I'm saying this was on the real news that normal people look at, like 5 or 6 hours after I had told all my students and wrote it on the chalkboard. The episode 8 title is The Last Jedi.
Which, that's not Luke, man. Luke does not have that type of voice. Luke just looks like he's longing. He stares deeply into stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On the island.
So is he the last Jedi? And does this portend that he is going to pass away in the storyline?
I'm going to put an asterisk right here, because as we were preparing for this, we were talking, and this is pure speculation, because daggone it, we're going to have some speculation. All right, so Yoda was on Dagobah.
Yes, sir.
For a long period of time by himself.
Nerd!
And we had Obi-Wan, who was on Tatooine.
That's right.
For a long period of time by himself.
Yes.
And we have Luke Skywalker, who's on the island planet.
He's at the Jedi Temple.
Okay. For a long period of time all by himself.
Yes.
Two of those three learned something.
Mm-hmm.
The third one may have learned something.
Yes.
So this Force ghost thing.
Yes. The speculation of becoming a Force ghost and being able to speak after you have died to somebody special in your life. The speculation has been for years that this takes a lot of concentration. You have to study this in order to make this happen. And there's a very good chance, I've speculated on Twitter, that my 2017 prediction is not only Luke Skywalker will die, but he will come back as a Force ghost in this film.
From a certain point of view. I'm going to lie to you and then kind of weasel my way out of it.
Boy.
From a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view. I did tweet that too.
Oh my
yes. Yes. Alternate facts 2017. Yes.
From a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view, your father was killed by Darth Vader.
It's huge.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, we're not going to get into that news. That news is
there's plenty of places for it.
There's plenty of places for that news.
All right. So I just want to make sure that I mention that if we can come back next week, we can probably have more.
I think we'll have a lot more next week, and hopefully we can survive. If we're hunted, we know that we can watch that show and find out all the secrets, and I think we can survive another week.
And if you come back next week, we may have the best Batman.
It's Batman week next week.
It is.
Excellent. I'm so excited for this movie.
The song, Dark, Dark.
No parents. Okay, now don't get me started. We're wrapping it up. If you need more information, there's so many ways to find it. You can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find all the news that you need at our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenfeld.
We'll see you in the future.